everybody. Welcome to the Brain Trust Podcast. My name is Adam Vass, and I'm a tabletop game designer in California still.
And my name is Lee Ups. I'm a liminal existor in the big weave I like to call the Brain Trust Podcast, but currently in York, Ontario, Canada. Adam, what's happening?
Just announcing that we are doing a game. Probably.
Hey, you know we're doing a little game coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah, Adam and Will bring you Campfire, coming to Kickstarter in June 1st, 2021.
Campfire, the anthology horror role-playing game illustrated by Trevor Henderson.
We'll probably get into it, maybe not, maybe today, maybe on the next episode, like more deeply.
But let's get the people psyched about it.
Campfire.
Get fucking psyched!
I always think of Campfire in the Crossfire song. Campfire! If you ever play Crossfire, you know that when you were a kid? You might be... No. I mean, I know you're younger than me. I kind of just had the culture shock the other day when we were filing the paperwork to start our company together.
That I'm from a different decade than you are?
The age disparity, yeah.
Age is just a number. Mine is just so much smaller than yours.
So, Crossfire was a game when I was a kid that was basically 1v1. It was a board that had a gun on each side.
And that's awesome.
The gun had like a little ramp that it would like fire ball bearings down. So you couldn't. They would just go down the ramp. They weren't propelled by like air, like compressed air or anything. But basically, it was 1v1 who could get the most ball bearings in the other person's end zone. And then there were these like discs in the middle that were like Beyblade prototype, like spiky discs. So if you shot a disc with a ball bearing, it would kind of catch in the wing of the spike and like spin around. Oh, actually, maybe you were supposed to get the ball bearing disc to the other goal. I think that was it. But it had like an extreme power metal theme song that was really powerful and awesome. And that's what I think of when we say Campfire.
Campfire!
It's good. It's good stuff. Yeah, the anthology horror storytelling game. If you're a fan of Creepshow or Are You Afraid of the Dark, Tales from the Crypt, or just like pulp horror comics from before times.
I like the Pseudopod podcast. That's a good one. Anthology horror collection.
There's a game for you now. And we made it.
There's a game for you. We made it. It is a no prep anthology storytelling game where you sit around a board, a cloth mat designed by Trevor Henderson, horror artist supreme. And you work through different story decks to tell different stories within this kind of context of sharing urban legend and scary stories around a fire. And there's tons of cool interplay fueled by a coin system where everyone's chiming in and you take turns as the narrator, flipping a card from the story deck, and you get a creepy piece of narration or something like that that you incorporate into the story as it stands. The game is like an hour to 2 hours long, so it's quick. You get a like full creepy story out of it. Adam and I love playing this game. We've been playing through this one story deck, and we've had like vastly different stories every single time, and it's just really cool what it does.
Yeah, it's unique in a lot of ways, and I think one of the most exciting ways too is like it's horror, but horror is sort of almost genreless now insofar as like you can do so many things within horror, and the game does that too, of like you can tell a ghost story, you can tell like a psychological horror story, you can tell just like a pulpy slasher blood-soaked story, and like anything in between. There's a lot of opportunity and a lot of interesting different tales to be told. And even that's, you know, like you said, interpretation of these decks. So the decks kind of support or push you in particular flavor directions, but how you interpret them opens that even wider. So you can tell all kinds of stories in this system. We've been calling it the fiasco of horror internally. It feels really like a succinct and effective dilution of what horror story can be, and really makes you feel kind of like powerfully as a player, as a writer of a story together. Like, it does the thing that I love in story games, that you can kind of have an idea going in and you're almost always surprised by the end of what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it, like, the way the coin, the game's fueled by this coin interplay, so you're putting coins on the board to affect story details. You're taking coins off of ember cards, which are like the people, places, and things of our story. You know, embers in a fire, campfire. It's all very metaphorical. It's a game by designers, so it has all special words for everything. And you can say something minor about them, or just shift the scene, like a quick camera cut or an aside, a quick unconnected paragraph. And you can offer a coin to the narrator to incorporate a detail if you want to see what they've got. The narrator, on the other hand, is a rotating role that is played by everyone involved, where you flip a card. You get a piece of narration, say it's something like, I don't know, what's a good example? What's a good narrator card? One that we played with Smithereens.
Smithereens, yeah. I think about every day.
Into Smithereens. You get that, and the story up to this point has you've been playing with these group of embers, which are, again, our characters, people, places, things that chase. You would then draft a scene and then narrate it, and during that scene, you can auction a coin to the other players to kind of pull the group for an answer to a question. If there's kind of a story detail, for example, like who is in the blast zone of the Smithereens? Like, yeah, say it's the end of you're doing like The Thing or something like that, and Kurt Russell's under in the frozen cave trying to get every strut ladled with dynamite. Laden? Dynamite laden, bean laden. That's a very old joke from this podcast. Everyone would submit like, oh, I think this guy gets blown up, or I think the alien gets blown up, and you choose your favorite. Or you can have all of them be true, but you give your coin to the most affecting answer. You can also ask for trouble, which is a player offers you a coin and a challenge. And the final thing is you can flip for it. So if the story comes to a crossroads where you want to take the decision away, or just see if there are two interesting options and you kind of want both to happen, flip a coin for it. And this interplay makes it a storytelling game with a high level of interaction and co-creation throughout the whole process. So if you're into story games like Extraordinary Adventures of Baron Munchausen, or very high interplay games like that, close to like party game energy. It's got that. It's got ethereal horror stuff. It's very moody and vibey.
It's just good shit.
And it's in a box.
Yeah, of in the Adam and Will tradition, we're coming at you with a box. We're coming at you with a cloth playmat with bespoke cards with wooden tokens that are screen printed on both sides that you use as the coins in the game. Like, it is just a nice physical thing, as we both are wont to do. And we're also now looking at like the fancier deluxe, like if people want to support more, you can get all these cool other things. Like, we're going to have an air freshener so that feels like you're playing in the woods, even if you're playing in your living room. And feels like, smells like, and
feels like on your nose.
We're gonna have a flexi postcard with some cool, like, creepy audio that you can get to the play and get in the mood before the story starts. Just some cool physical edition stuff, because that is what we love. That's my favorite thing.
And we've got a super duper edition where you play the game with us with a special deck that we make. So if you really want to pop off, you can grab that. The game is going to be on Kickstarter for $40. You can get the digital edition for $20. The big backer version, like you love us, is the $100 level, and the give me more kind of Beatles edition, screaming at the Ed Sullivan Show, is the $200 play with us version.
And you can click it now to preview and save the page, which actually helps the visibility of the page quite a bit, I think. So just go to braintrust.rocks. That's going to take you to the Kickstarter page, and that URL will take you to the live Kickstarter page from June 1st, 2021 for the next 3.5 weeks when the campaign is running. And, you know, we'll definitely be talking about it a lot while we're recording new episodes during that time. But this is the first we get to talk about it, and we've been sitting on it for literally 5 months. So
it is a fine-tuned machine. We've got a team of awesome writers that we can't wait to tell you about in the coming weeks. It is going to ship by fucking Halloween.
Yeah, that's the other thing we really want and have prioritized, the idea that this is a game that you will want to play in October. And so we're making that happen.
Is RPG Super Bowl is Halloween.
Right.
There's no more important date to game writers than October 31st.
It's perfect. And, you know, if you sleep on it, if this somehow, us telling you about it, didn't sell you already, I don't know how, but it'll be available online and in some indie retailers in October as well. So you'll be able to get it. You will be able to get it. This is a game that we want to live and have like a powerful existence.
Come join us in this power. I'm sure we're going to be playing pickup games on the Brain Trust, so come and hang. We will move on to other stuff in a sec, but yeah, definitely check it out. Tell your friends. This is a great game for people that are brand new to games. It is a storytelling game. It's not a role-playing game, so it's really approachable.
There's no numbers. Aspects. No numbers, no math, no dice.
No goddamn fucking numbers. The only number you gotta call is 911 if this shit gets too scary. Is there a Halloween-related number? 666, that's what I should have said.
Probably. I mean, 1031 is good, because that's Halloween.
Oh, that's good. You can follow for updates. We'll be designing the game live each week on the 12-week Kickstarter. We will have guests every week to talk about our designs, and we will make we will go over budget. And
on the off chance that someone's listening to this, like we put a link on the Kickstarter page or something. That was a joke about the last game that we did.
That was a joke,
and which is made a great game, but was a financial disaster for us and a ego disaster.
Oh yeah. It was really liberating for my ego.
That game, A Guide to Casting Phantoms in the Revolution, is almost out of print now. There's only about 20 copies left.
If I see you scalping this game on eBay, I'm going to figure out where you are. Go buy it from Adam. Go check it out. I'm just looking at Crossfire from 94. It's retailing for about $120.
You got to watch the commercial. To get the true energy.
The true energy.
While you're looking that up, Fiskborg, my fishing supplement with Richard Kelly, a.k.a. Sprinting Owl, is coming to Kickstarter on May 25th. We're bringing fish to Morkborg. I get to draw a bunch of weird sea creatures. It's already been so much fun, and that's going to be really great. And also,
Richard Kelly is one of the brightest designers.
Just
doing
blowing
it
my
today.
Mind.
Yeah, just like really out here, and it's like all craft and skill, hard won shit. And one of the most insightful game reviewers and just communicators. Yeah,
for sure. Definitely has an understanding of the medium in like a really unique and strong way, and offers a lot of encouragement and guidance and comfort by relaying that information and relaying that understanding to other people who are involved in games, but also just the most prolific game writer. I think he's released something every week in 2021.
At least, yeah.
We saw, basically there was a shit post about Morkborg using the color palette of Swedish Fish.
That was Ava.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that turned into There Should Be Fishing in Morkborg, and that turned into Fiskborg. And honestly, within 48 hours, Richard had an outline ready, and within a week, really, he just said the first draft is done, which includes almost 100 unique sea creatures that you can catch that are categorized by different fishing spots and like how deep they live and how rare they are. There's bait systems, there's rod and reel systems.
This is not his first fishing game. So this is tried and tested. This is road ready fishing technology that's in this game.
In a really strange and new world, which is in Morkborg. But yeah, excited for that. Here we go. In the future, the ultimate challenge.
Crossfire. Campfire. Crossfire.
Holy crap, that bass.
That bass line.
You'll get caught up in it. Crossfire.
campfire.
That's great. Good stuff. I like any game that incorporates a level of face damage, like potential damage to one's grill and or face.
It's funny, I don't remember it being dangerous, but when I was describing it to you, it's almost certainly dangerous.
These kids are staring down the barrel of this gun attached to the board, so you basically have to be in sniping position to do it.
And you know, too, when it gets intense, that board's not staying on the table.
No, for sure not. I wish, you know... Like, I'm now thinking of a game kind of like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Wait, am I combining two things? Sock'em Boppers, Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
They're two separate things.
They licensed a movie for it, and I think Vin Diesel is going to be in it. So that's not a joke. It sounds like one.
I'd love to see Vin rock and sock a robot.
Till its head pops up.
Do you remember in He-Man, the guy with the long neck? Anyway, so you are playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and you can reach through the robot like a stand with, you know, like a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure stand with your Sock'em Boppers and just hit the shit out of the other person in the head.
I think we took a hard pivot. We should have...
Threats of physical violence in games. You know, I like Bloody Knuckles. I like Lumberjack. You ever played that game?
Not that I know of.
You put your hands, each opponent offers one hand and puts it on palm to palm, like you're shaking hands but not grasping. And then you take your other hand and whip back and slap your opponent's hand as hard as you can.
Oh, no, I haven't played that one.
Wanna?
Let's throw a break. I feel like we're a third of the way through the show.
Nice. Let's take a break.
I haven't revealed. I figured this would be either something I lead with or something I never say, that I'm recording in bed. Because and I'm in like the worst posture imaginable. I have one leg completely straight and the other leg pressed against my chest.
Are you good?
Physically, no. This is going to harm me, but I can't not. And
Are the circumstances by which you are recording in bed, are you okay?
Oh,
I understand that presently your body's like kind of contorted like a podcast pretzel.
I thought I would record the whole episode prone just to give a different energy. But I also, because there was a while where I was holding my microphone like a wine glass, like cupping the bottom of the snowball. And I think you'll hear it. I can actually see the sound lines around 6, maybe 7 minutes of when I did that.
You know what? I'd say stay in bed. I think this is the podcast. You're kind of doing a sleep in. So
I've been up. I got up at 6 today, but my roommate is in the office, and I didn't want to be on the call in a shared space, so I just moved to the bedroom, and here I am.
Well, how about we'll do a little interview?
Okay.
How is the bed?
Soft. It's good.
What kind of pillows do you like? Do you know yet?
I think I explained once I have the sort of opposite of a U. I have this pillow that goes between my knees. It's quite good.
I've started doing that with a pillow since you mentioned it.
This is specifically really meant for that. Like, you couldn't put your head on it. It's an ugly... It's kind of like a bow tie. Like a... So your knee goes in this sort of, like, node in the center of these sine waves. Then I got just a pillow that I've had forever that is so beat up it barely functions. And that lives on top of just like a normal soft pillow. Because I'm a side sleeper, so I need that the layered support.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. Sleep is good. You know what else? What else is there to say?
Sleep is good. we've talked last time about how when we have 2 weeks between, it's like, yeah, we're revved up and riled about stuff. But we just talked about pillows.
And I can't even focus on the concept of a pillow. I get all these ads, too. Since I'm moving, I get so many ads on Instagram for like beds and stuff. And of course I clicked one once and it fed the machine. That was my bed.
One time someone described Instagram as QVC for millennials, and I now use way less of Instagram. I don't need to look at a print sweatshirt that has Gengar on it anymore. I'm not going to buy it.
But did you click on it once to see how much it was? Because I did.
For sure. 100%.
It didn't used to be this way.
Instagram is a tool for game designers to look for artists.
Yes, I was going to say I love Instagram as an avenue for art and art discovery. And then it also is like now a weird product thing because their ad system is just really intense.
Let me see what kind of Instagram ads I'm getting fed now. This is a good bit.
Okay, I'm going to. You click somebody, the first person's story, and then the second thing is almost always an ad.
Okay, well, I'm seeing your story first, and let me get an ad. Okay, yeah, I've got an ad for some anime stickers, final stickers for your car of some women from an anime I do not recognize at all. Well, there is some Ava people. I recognize them for sure. When I sat down to record this podcast on Seb's computer was the GIF of congratulations at the end. And I think it might still be playing behind me. But that's my first ad.
Mine was for crypto trading.
No.
I'm trying to scroll and get another one, but of course now that I want one, it won't show
me.
We're
going ad for ad right now, so tell me about the crypto. Are you crypto now?
No.
No.
I scrolled past because I wanted to get a good ad that would be funny. Oh, here's one. Big brain, play trivia, win real money.
Oh, finally.
This is weird because I'm noticing a trend that my ads are for things that make money in sketchy ways. And I wasn't expecting that, but I guess...
Maybe when you signed up for Instagram, did you click the, like, I'm interested in the easy way to get money?
I must have. I mean, who isn't?
I'm actually interested in the easy way. I got one for kind of, nice androgynous flowing clothing in grays, the new non-binary outfit, kind of just some layered gray clothes.
Oh, yeah, I definitely have been getting some, like, basics lately, like, really soft hoodies.
Mm.
I'll also admit, I buy some Instagram ads for my games pretty often. So if you see...
Yeah, I've seen them. I've gotten fed a World Champ.
I have too. On my personal account, I'll see a World Champ ad, and I'm like, is this where my money's going? To advertise to me?
Get it? Get real. Eliminate me from the list. I'm getting a Cheetos extra steak flavor. Japanese steak flavored Cheetos.
Wait, what? The Cheetos are steak flavored?
Yes.
I feel like it would be easier to have a steak be Cheetos flavored.
It's got Chester Cheetah kind of doing a hand plant on a Cheeto, and there are two steaks with a just nicely cooked, and there's a sprig of thyme on them, and they got the grill marks. Oh, you can see, like, Chester has, like, suction cups on his fingers. Oh, his shoes are whack. They've got, like, the paw prints on the bottom. This podcast is in trouble. Let me get one more ad for
our
you.
Podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if you saw podcast. An ad for another podcast.
Which? Is it good?
This is a good segment. I bet there's a... I don't want to explore this. I was going to say the way to gamify the ads that we were served. Or maybe there's a reverse of, like, how to trick Instagram into giving you an ad for a certain thing. Like, that's a fun game.
Targeting. Getting targeted.
Like, which... Like, between you and me, what can we do innocuously? Like, not break the... Not cheat. I don't know what cheating is in this, but, like... Which one of us could be the first to get an ad for, like, an immersion blender? Like, a very particular, like, kitchen.
Okay.
Like, what can you do? So there's always the myth that, you know, your phone is listening to you while you just talk. So talking about an immersion blender, or the fact that I might need a new blender... You know, is that enough? Am I going to see a blender ad later today because it's listening to me talking about a blender?
Okay, let's race. Let's race to the first organic blender ad. Are we allowed to, like, search anything in Instagram?
See, I think that's what cheating is. But I think if you can innately get there... So, like, have you ever seen Wikipedia speedrun?
Yes, exactly. A Wikipedia race, for sure.
So I think if you see, like, you know, if you follow... a restaurant, and you click the restaurant, and then you click through to, like, the chef.
Get into the hashtags. And not what I'm doing, which is just going to Instagram Discover search and doing hashtag juice to get there.
Yeah, I don't think you can deliberately search, but you can only follow trails that have been built for you by the algorithm.
Okay, wow. That is a beautiful concept. I mean, are we playing now, or is this, you know, we kind of post
I think we it. Started now, but I think it's a passive activity.
Okay, that sounds good. I have to say,
we are,
like,
recording our podcast right now.
Yeah, that is kind of what we're doing currently. I am looking at Instagram. I get the combination of, like, the most, like, melted brain musician memes that I really hate looking at, but every time I do click it to see what somebody says about, like, a guitar... really hate those. Really wish I could never see them, but I always click on them. And then a bunch of beautiful art by artists. Someone did Ben Shapiro but blonde. That's what I'm looking at right now. Slim Shapiro is what it's called. That's pretty funny. So what's next up for the podcast?
Let's take a break and reset. I feel like that's works.
So I'm writing and testing Torque right now to drop in July. It's going really well. I've made a ton of awesome progress in the last few weeks, especially now that I'm out of my shitty day job and, like, doing games full time. like it's really getting invested into making Torque really good. So I'm psyched where that is. But I was considering like the form factor and a little bit of what is enough for a game to open the door for additional content. So I'm looking at examples like Mothership, especially the player guide for Mothership, which is the rules you need to play, some elements for how to run games, but not a lot, like admittedly not a lot, just like a slim essential volume. And so I was trying to think of like, okay, how do I make, I'm trying to not totally rip the publication strategy of Mothership, but to take like some best practices of that for Torque episodes and things like that. So wondering where your gut is at for like, how much do you need to like get going? How much are you willing to reverse engineer out of content, etc.?
I think a lot of it, it comes, at least in the way that I play stuff, comes from the pitch, comes from the cover art, comes from the conceit of the game. So I think the most extreme example is something like what I just did with Wasted, which was my Patreon game for May, which is a 4x6 postcard, and the rules are only on one side of it. The rules are basically just character creation and a core mechanic for just kind of like anything you want to do. And I still think I could confidently run and play that game just by the conceit of it, which is that you're in like a wasteland and the humans are all messed up. Like, that's kind of all I need. But that's because that's an aesthetic I already like and I feel comfortable enough freestyling. And I did this with Scratch and Claw too, where it's just, there's really only one, I would say 1.5 rules. That are printed on the back of a postcard. And then later I was like, okay, I could have fun with that and I don't need really more. But doing adventures and then in each adventure kind of supplementing the rules with new rules.
Right. So
that's my favorite thing right now. That's
exactly what I'm thinking about with this publication strategy for like, you know, the operator manual, which is what the Kickstarter was for, is everything you need to play, and you can run games out of that. But what I want to do is have, like, an expanded free play kind of thing, which is how to generate your own stuff, etc. It would double the page count, which is why I can't do it for the zine. And an adventure that introduces, like, big rig rules or something like that.
I think there's a lot of that. I think some of it exists with Mothership that feels kind of invisible. So like by offering a different villain type or an enemy, like an alien type that has a, you know, just a kind of more complete stat block, it informs new information about how the game could be played that then you as the reader, I mean, I think this with OSR stuff in general is it gives you just enough, not necessarily for the sake of completing it, but for you to then be able to complete it with the given information, you know, like, so something that I did with the first Scratch and Claw adventure, which was, Magic Mushrooms in the Haunted Mall. There's a rule in it or like a mechanic in it for basically like what happens when you eat magic mushrooms. And then also here's a mechanic for when you are looking for magic mushrooms in a planter. So there's two mechanics that work pretty similarly. And by offering them, I'm saying, one, I expect your characters are going to do drugs in this game. So here's a mechanic to account for that. That was not in the core text, but like,
right,
it didn't need to be. But if you want to be that kind of game master who accounts for all of these possibilities, here's how I would do it. And here's enough information for you to then populate this and change the circumstances. So if instead of it's doing drugs, if it's, you know, here's what happens when you show up to a party uninvited and it uses the same mechanic, but you kind of extrapolate the information from what I did in the adventure, like you're going to be fine. And I think that's kind of a sweet spot for me of showing you how something works. The other thing, so I don't remember if I mentioned this, but Babes in the Wood, second edition, is now available.
Hey.
And there's a system in it that's exactly this too, of like, you have your basic move list. All of the kids can do any of the moves from the basic list at any time. Then each kid also has their special moves, which are particular to what type of kid they are, if they're a big kid, a toy, a critter, etc. And then there's what I call rare moves. And those are moves that only occur in like really specific instances that you don't necessarily need to know as player or game master. But by offering them, I'm showing you how you can create a move for a specific instance, and also how move design and adventure design kind of live together.
Yeah, kind of like the Aaron King special.
That, I mean, Aaron consulted on the book with me, and we went over just my move list on the phone for like 2 hours, and just like, how does this move feel? What does this move think? Like, how do you think this move would be implemented? And it was a really extreme help. But even just reading stuff like Patchwork World helped me understand.
Like, get Patchwork World 6E.
It's incredible. It's good stuff.
Get the fuck out there. Get Aaron stuff. They are next level.
So there's a rare move in the first hollow. Hollows are setting adventures in Babes in the Wood, where there's a magician, like a traveling stage magician, who's come to this area and is performing. And the rare move is when you witness the magic of Otherworldly Thurston, that's the magician's name.
That's awesome.
Otherworldly Thurston. When you witness their magic and you think you understand, you roll plus noodle, which is kind of like your brain skill. And obviously, like, you could watch the magic show and integrate the magic show into your campaign without doing this move. But in this sort of education I extrapolated from Aaron, both in conversation and reading their published work, it's a move that innately changes the circumstance by engaging with it. So on a full success, you understand how the magic trick was done, and it's illusory. I'm definitely going to mix it up because the text's not in front of me. Then the mixed result is something like, you either believe it's real magic, like it's not an illusion, or you recognize that it is an illusion, but you can't figure out how it's done. And both of those would be kind of like an interruption to the show. And then the failure, the 6-, is you have no idea, like you're just enthralled by this magic, and Thurston asks you to be the volunteer for their next trick. So like, that's really fun. All of those options are fun, and they also, like, hopefully, like a good PBTA move, present, like, they will change the circumstance by just engaging with the move.
They're propulsive too. They're making fiction happen.
Right, so you're either about to call out the magician, or the magician's going to call you out, or you kind of like throw a wrench into the show, and the show, you know, hits a screeching halt. And that, all of those, and how the kids interact with the magician and the audience and each other, are informed by your role, and that's really interesting and fun. But by presenting that as the first example adventure in the game, I'm telling you, when you visit new places or meet new people, you have this move list, and the move list feels comprehensive enough to get what you want to do, but you can fully just design an adventure with a move in mind.
Yeah.
Like a single move could be an adventure, and that's really fun and exciting.
That tech is so cool.
So I think to bring it back to Torque, I think all of these systems that I really like playing with is having the core game have enough to do anything. And, you know, I've also talked in the past a lot about my issue with saying the right and wrong way to play, or like adventure design being sometimes feeling like this is what you're supposed to do.
Mm.
And so I usually, with my adventure design, deliberately try to break that every time.
Right.
So having really dynamic and different adventures to offer the full breadth of what the game can support but then also in each of them offering, if not new pieces of tech, glimpses at how the tech is working in that adventure.
Yeah, like I've sketched out the first episode. I'll finish it this week, but it's you gathering up with your pack of other drivers that are then leaving this area to go to a new, like a mountain pass has cleared for the first time. So you get there, you get through the mountain pass, and then you get into this whole new area where you will be playing your campaign of Torque. So you establish all that shit. It starts with you having some downtime stuff and then getting chased by fuckers and then having an environmental challenge and then both at the same time. So it's doing like the big things of the game, ramping you up for them. Because, you know, it can't lean on other systems because it's its own thing. So it's got to be a little bit instructive with the first adventure.
I like that. I mean, I think your core book, like I said, it's sandboxy, and then your adventures are giving you a bucket or giving you a shovel and saying like, look, you can shovel the sand. Oh, you can pack the sand in this bucket. Like, sure, I could have figured that stuff out and could have done it, but every new tool, every new piece of tech is extrapolating on and giving you avenues as players to go down or to not go down or to interpret almost deliberately wrong to like make new things within the world. And that's what
I mean. That's the cool thing about like Mothership modules, just other issues of Mothership games where it's both like a cool read. It's like in its own genre, but it's still within the same system. And you don't need all of them to play Mothership. You can pick the ones that you like, but they are fun to collect.
I like that about Mothership. And like I said, I think there's some novel stuff going on in the third party adventure world of adding those pieces of tech, and having them be. I have my noise canceling headphones on. And I can still hear garbage trucks.
Oh, I can't really hear them through the mic. So we'll figure.
I'm going to zoom in. Let's see if the bars.
No, I hear that. Sounds like a fucking rocket about to fire. Is there a jet taking off? Yikes.
In 2 weeks, this will be over.
Nice. I can't wait for you to live somewhere that has unconnected walls. the outside world.
I'll still have my noise cancels on just in case, but
yeah, no one's gonna catch me off guard.
I refuse to hear. I will not hear you.
I think you more than anyone else could really survive in that soundless room that NASA has.
I want to try it. I've seen the articles.
I feel like you could get in there. Somebody's got to know someone who knows. Yeah, exactly. Like. You know, they say, like, in 30 seconds, you start to hear the blood in your veins, stuff like that.
I would be interested to hear what that sounds like.
I mean, I'm sure you know just the amount of time you are spent canceling noise.
I think I have heard my brain fluid.
Yeah, that's cool. I hear my brain fluid when I have to do count month sets before I go to sleep. Have I talked about that on the podcast?
I don't think so, but we've talked about it in real life.
Damn. Wait, have I? I don't want to say it again. I do want to say it. I don't want to say it twice because that feels like someone would start to diagnose me or something. Anyway, when I'm stressed out and I can't sleep, I add numbers in my head. But the goal, it's not just for nothing. You know, I'm doing research. I'm trying to figure out if there are more days in a year of year-shaped months. You know, we got 29 and 30 and 31. 12 of those. Or is there more days in a year built out of months of every month possible unit? Now, follow me. First month's got one day. second month's got 2 days. And onwards to 31. This is how I get to sleep sometimes when I'm stressed out. I count and I'm doing a Fibonacci sequence. I'm doing my Fibonaccis. And I have never gotten above 21 before either hearing my brain fluid or hearing the Microsoft Windows startup noise in my head as my brain has just restarted and I have to do it again.
I've done it too since you told me. I found the solution, but I don't want to talk about it here. But I only found the solution because
away for free.
Thinking about it was irking me too much to when I was doing the manual math, because I did it also when it was like about to go to sleep, and it works.
Because yeah, you got to do manual. You got to do it right before you go to sleep.
You can't think about anything else because you'll lose track of the numbers.
I do it while listening to podcasts too, and it's just like I really around the teens is when I just start to have a meltdown because I just can't, because you're remembering like three different numbers to do it.
To those listeners out there in our show, we're almost an hour in. What number are you at? You've been counting since we started talking. What number are you at?
What number are you at? 1, 3. 6, 10, 14, oh, 15. Shit.
Wait,
anyway.
What is this series?
Yeah, so what the fuck were we talking about? Oh, yeah, noise canceling, hearing your brain fluid.
Numbers.
After about 2 minutes, I think you start to, like, have a panic attack or something. Like, you just have an autonomic breakdown. I'm thinking you could last a while in there.
I don't know. I think I would like to believe that, but I also, because noise, I find, one, really distracts me, but two, really annoys me. Mm-hmm. And I think I would end up getting really annoyed at myself for hearing my blood pump and being like, please stop.
Damn cartilage flexing.
I really just can't. I cannot deal with this anymore. I need to cancel the noise of my human operation.
I'm canceling myself. I think you would either hate it, right, that, like, your own body would make so much noise that you would experience a level of, like, misophonic dysphoria that would just be unbearable, and you would never be able to, like, hear your body the same way. There's one. Number two is, it sounds so good you'd never leave. The soundless sea.
There's no garbage trucks here.
That you have to just give up all other earthly pursuits, but creating a room of this for your own.
Because you couldn't do anything in the room either. Like, I couldn't type on a keyboard. It would be the loudest.
It would kill you.
I already use a mechanical keyboard now, and it's it annoys me. I'm not gonna lie.
A mechanical keyboard would be a gunshot. Fucking JPEG to the head right there with a mechanical keyboard.
I like that.
A hiccup?
I got them coming. There's always
countdown,
the
basically. Someone has to be in there with you, right? Or like someone's monitoring.
No. Monitoring is fine, but you cannot come in there with me. No one can, because then I would place all of that aggression and on this target. I can hear your blood. It's not mine.
Your blood's too loud. That's a vampire thought. Your blood's too goddamn loud.
Could you like calm down your heart rate? I can hear it, and it's really getting on my nerves.
I need you to do deep breaths, but it needs to be through your nose and out through your mouth. Like, I can't hear your mouth breathing in the soundless sea. Yeah, I think what you should do is probably bring an object that normally would make noise, maybe like a walkie-talkie. Just so you can externalize the kind of misophonic rage that you would feel. So you're like, oh, it is the small wooden box and not me.
Can't be me.
I hate this box. It couldn't be me. Blood going through my veins. Brain noise is going once I tick over to the 22, 23 month count. Couldn't be me.
Wow, combining the going in the soundless room and counting months in days.
Doing month units, month Fibonacci, the Fibonacci date sequence. Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm not saying what my next gig is yet, because it's not final, but I will be moving to Orlando, and I will be visiting a certain soundless room with my month theory.
I'm trying to think to lose the sound thing. We went on like 8 tangents that compounded, because we were talking about adventure design and Mothership, but which is fascinating. There's definitely got to be a soundless planet in Mothership. Somebody write it. I'll go there. Then what does a planet look like that has a month that's 1 day and then a month that's 2 days? And I guess it's not necessarily a planet. It's a culture, because time is like human perception. So what am I hearing? I can't. We're almost at an hour.
You're hearing things. Okay, yeah. I think if you're using Yope's Fibonacci month units, the first week, right?
So let me clarify too, that it's not a Fibonacci sequence, because you only earlier gave an example of 1 and 2 day months, and then you said etc. But if it were Fibonacci, you could. Like, that is also part of that series. So in the Will Yobst series, it's 1 month that's 1 day, another month that's 2 days, another month that's 3, then 4, then 5, then 6.
Oh, yeah. Just like Fibonacci complete would be,
sequential integers.
Would be 1.
Up to 31. And then how long is a year? And is the year longer than our standard 30 times 12 year? Which I know the answer of, but I will not reveal.
Thank you. Yeah, so going back to like, what is this planet? What is this place that does this month system? I think the first several months is just one long party. It's like New Year's. So you got New Year's Day, and then you've got 2 years.
So the other thing with like time and measuring and this stuff, like a day is how long it takes the planet to spin around, right? And then a year is how long it takes the planet to go around the sun. So the year is a length of time that is distinct from our year.
That's information for me that I shouldn't be getting.
Well, I mean, it's not exactly 365 days, but I won't tell you anything else.
Damn it!
But a day is still the same amount of time in a day, right? Like a planet rotation.
Is there more minutes in a day unit if...
What?
Yeah, so are we going to go more into this culture? Or am I going to talk about how I watch math TikToks and fully don't understand a single thing? And still I'm like, wow, wow, that's so fascinating.
Maybe let's wrap it up. I think we lost the plot a little bit.
Oh, for sure. We said funny shit, though, so that's better than losing.
This is a great app. We did it. This is an upside down app where we came in strong with a purpose. And then we went
with a plug.
then we lost it and continued to lose it on purpose. And now we're at the end.
We start with a plug. We talked about game design, and then we revealed a master theory that kind of fuels my day to day.
Where can the people find out about Torque on the internet?
You can find out about Torque at will_yopes on twitter.com. I'm available for hire, for editing, for game design, for consulting, for whatever. I'm laying out a book right now. It looks pretty good. I can do book layout. Yeah, hit me up. I should have like a card on my page at the, like, maybe not by this episode, by next episode. My web page will have an interactable card that has all my shit on it. But yeah, check out braintrust.rocks for the Campfire Kickstarter. That's going to rip complete shit. It's going to be so fucking good. Yeah, cool. Where can people find you?
I am at WC Game Co. on Twitter, and I'm worldchamp.io for all of the needs that you may have. In terms of purchasing games, yeah, I'm moving right now, so you can get free shipping on orders of $40 or more in the U.S. with the code MOVING at checkout. So please buy A Guide to Casting Phantoms in the Revolution, because it is the bulkiest thing in my inventory currently, and there's only 20 copies left before it's out of print. But anything heavy, anything in a box, I'd be happy to sell it to you before I move and pack, and that would help me greatly. Yeah, that, and Fiskborg comes to Kickstarter next week, and Campfire comes to Kickstarter the week after, so stay tuned to all the business. Babes in the Wood is out now. On my itch page, worldchampgameco.itch.io, the digital is there, and the books are shipping any day now in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we should do a Tech Jam review of all the cool stuff people submitted last month, and then we'll kick it back up again for July.
Yeah, but, good idea.
Because we've sweat the plug order, do you want to do the honors? This is a new season of the Brain Trust, after all.
Wow. Brain emoji, handshake emoji.